you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, a live literary event series from LAist. We are back with guests, author Amanda Montell, and actor Bella Lavelle. You can find us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum. Tickets at laist.com/events.
LAist Studios.
Hi, I'm Victoria Alejandro, a producer on the LAist studio show, How to LA. For the past few weeks, I've been working on a series that's a love letter to vintage and independent cinemas here in Los Angeles. I've been exploring how these movie theaters are staying afloat, their histories, and what they mean to their neighborhoods and communities. Here's our fourth episode where we head down to LA's South Bay and check out the family-owned Gardena Cinema. Take a listen.
Hello, LA. We're going back to the movies. From LA Studios, this is How to LA, the show that helps you discover Los Angeles. We're back with another episode of Revival House, our love letter to the vintage and independent movie theaters around the city. Today, we're heading to the South Bay of LA and visiting the Gardena Cinema. The single-screen movie theater has been owned by the Kim family since 1976 and has always figured out ways to serve its community. Whether that was showing Spanish-language films in the 1980s or turning its parking lot into a drive-in theater during the pandemic closures. The theater has recently pivoted to showing repertory films, a mix of classics like La La Land, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and How to Train Your Dragon. It's a change that came about when Judy Kim started running the theater on her own.
I listen to my volunteers. I take their feedback very seriously. And I did what they told me to, which was, let's start booking some repertory titles, some revival stuff.
To learn about Judy's path to keeping her family cinema open, keep on listening. How to LA producer Victoria Alejandro is going to take it from here.
This is going to sound like a strange place to start, but the Gardena Cinema is the only independent slash repertory theater I've been to that has on-site parking. And the story of that parking lot is actually a crucial part of owner Judy Kim's story.
So I became an attorney and I practiced in different areas of law. But ultimately underlying all of that was a need for the theater to get parking.
She helped negotiate the purchase of a neighboring lot the theater desperately needed to grow its business.
And it saved our butt when the pandemic came. Because when the pandemic came, all the movie theaters closed. Nobody was open. But I had this big parking lot that I could show movies outdoors where people could sit in their car, you know, safely away from other people and watch a movie. And all they had to do was tune into the FM station that I told them to tune into.
That's just one of the ways Judy has helped keep her family cinema running and serving the community of Gardena for almost 50 years. Even in the face of financial and legal issues. This isn't a story of major renovations or of celebrity filmmaker intervention. The story of the Gardena Cinema is rooted in the story of the Kim family, how they immigrated to the U.S., bought a theater, and made it work, and about the community that grew up around this movie theater.
I live up East Hollywood, so this is a drive for me, but it's a fun place to come to.
And I met wonderful Judy, and I was shocked to find out that this was like 800 seats and like a single screen, and I just lost it. I'm like, this is exactly where I belong.
It's not just a movie theater. It's like, honestly, whenever I'm pissed or stressed out from my day, I'll just come over here and volunteer. Just hang out, like a safe haven.
We'll hear the story of the Kim family and the fight to keep the Gardena Cinema open, as told by Judy and some of its volunteers, right after this.
Support for LAist comes from Latino Theater Company at the Los Angeles Theater Center, presenting the world premiere of Mix Mix, the Filipino Adventures of a German Jewish Boy by Boney B. Alvarez. Inspired by true events from the life of Ralph Price, after escaping Nazi Germany, a newfound tropical refuge in the Philippines is upended when Japan invades the islands. On stage through June 16th. Tickets and information at latinotheaterco.org.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
People always comment on how nicely preserved the theater is, as it was from 1946. And I tell people it's only preserved because my parents never had enough money to upgrade it. And now it's so much, now it's vintage, and now it's cool. Now that I have dreams of, like, you know, trying to raise money to, like, make changes, people are like, no, change anything.
The Gardena Cinema has always been a movie theater. It opened in 1946 as the Park Theater and operated consistently through the years, showing first and second run feature films until it went up for sale in the 70s. That's where the Kim family comes in.
So my parents are actually immigrants from South Korea, and they immigrated here in 1971. They saved all their money to buy their own business because that was their dream, was to operate their own business. So he and my mom started looking for new businesses to buy, and they ended up finding this movie theater.
And it's kind of an incredible space. Tucked between a gym and a Superior Grocer's on Crenshaw Boulevard, it's way bigger inside than it looks. At 800 seats, it is easily one of the biggest theaters in the city. For comparison, the Chinese in Hollywood seats 932. There are still fireproof window covers in the projection room, a holdover from old film screening safety practices, and there are cry rooms upstairs from the 40s, balcony seating with speakers and a glass window where patrons could sit with a crying baby and not interrupt their viewing experience.
My mom fell in love with it as soon as she came and saw it. My parents bought this place in 1976. I was about 4 years old at the time.
The Kim family saw an underserved audience in Gardena. There was a drive-in in Torrance called the Rhodium that played Spanish language movies every Wednesday, and the place would be packed.
In our businesses, my parents have always dealt with a Spanish-speaking population. And my parents thought, hey, what if we played Spanish language movies every day instead of just once a week?
Ahí vienen ya. Y cuando uno se escapa de la cárcel como yo lo hice, no te atrapan como un hombre, sino te cazan como un animal.
And so that's what my parents did. They just one day in 1978 decided to change the format of the theater from English-speaking Hollywood second-run movies to second-run Spanish-language movies.
If the drive-in was ever rained out, or if folks wanted to catch a movie in Spanish on another day of the week, they would head to the Gardena. In the 70s and 80s, the Kims named the theater Teatro Variedades, variety theater in Spanish, and focused on Spanish-language films and live events with Latino filmmakers and actors.
It was meant to be like a neighborhood theater, like that was typical in the post-war era. There was always a neighborhood movie theater that you could walk to from your home. It's just a few blocks away. All of those theaters are now gone. All of them have been pretty much demolished or reused for another purpose. And my parents always kept it a movie theater. A lot of those theaters were being demolished in the 90s and 2000s. And you had different developments going up in the place of the movie theaters.
But the Kims kept the space a movie theater and in 1995 renamed it the Gardena Cinema.
We kept it a movie theater because, number one, my brother and I were adult age now. So we were old enough that we could help my parents and they didn't have to hire people. So there was that. And then there were neighborhood kids that always wanted to be able to see a movie for free, and they were willing to barter for their services, meaning that they would come in and they'd say, I'll clean the auditorium if I can watch the movie for free, or my family can watch the movie for free.
And also, it was a safe haven for kids to stay off the street.
The Gardena Cinema always felt like a community hub.
We were almost kind of like a boys and girls club where the kids could come here, because when the movie starts, and typical movie is an hour and a half to 2 hours, there's really nothing to do because they've already cleaned the auditorium. So we would hang out in the lobby and we would play video games, or we would, you know, talk about what was cool and what was not. And as an adult at that time, I made sure that all the kids that were here did their homework. So I tutored them. I made sure that they were doing okay in school. I never expected them not to go to college. So it was one of those things where it's a movie theater, but I also feel like it provided a little bit of community service.
But Judy never expected to be running this place by herself.
I went to school on the East Coast. I left because I wanted to get as far away from my parents as possible. I needed to spread my wings and feel a little bit of independence. And my parents were always very, very helicopter-like.
Judy's parents wanted her to become an attorney, but she had dreams of going into entertainment and found herself drawn to theater.
Every semester, I took one theater class. I ended up double majoring, and then my first job out of college, I actually went to the Arena Stage in Washington, D.C. And so I went that direction, and I honestly thought I was going to move to New York to become a Broadway producer. That was my trajectory, at least that's what I intended, and I planned when I was 22 years old. But after a year at my fellowship, and I was considering doing another year at the theater, my parents actually said, no, don't do another year, come back to L.A. And they were very insistent. At some point, they were calling me every day, sometimes two times a day, to make sure that I was coming back to Los Angeles and wrapping up my affairs.
So she went home.
I didn't really understand why they were so insistent upon me coming back to Los Angeles until after I had arrived back in Los Angeles. And at that point, I realized that they were under extreme financial hardship and they were embroiled in lots of legal problems. They had been defrauded multiple times and they were trying to navigate through all of that, but they couldn't tell me over the phone that they needed my help. And so when I got there, I just basically dug in and started helping them undo a lot of the problems. It took 10 to 15 years. And during the course of that process, we lost our home to foreclosure. We had our car repossessed. I mean, everything that could happen to somebody to lose their shirts happened to us. We were basically surviving off of like 99-cent hamburgers. And like, you know, I didn't realize how severe and extreme the situation was with my family. And so when I'm going through all of this, I finally did come to conclude on my own that I do need to go back to law school. Because at that point, I realized we don't have a parking lot. And if we're going to have the amount of traffic that we want, we need to have off-street parking. So I decided I would go back to law school to help my parents and to figure out a way to get the adjacent parking lot. We've only had that parking lot for 5 years.
That's a good parking lot.
Yeah, it's a very good parking lot. And it saved our butt when the pandemic came. Because when the pandemic came, all the movie theaters closed. Nobody was open. But I had this big parking lot that I could show movies outdoors where people could sit in their car, you know, safely away from other people and watch a movie. And all they had to do was tune into the FM station that I told them to tune into. After 2 years of doing that, people stopped going to the drive-in and the indoor theaters were starting to open back up again.
But right when the Kim family ushered the Gardena Cinema through pandemic closures, another tragedy struck.
But that time period is when my mom was fighting cancer. And then my mom passed away in 2022 because of my dad and I grieving. I didn't want to open the cinema, so we kept it closed for quite a long time. And the only reason why I was able to survive and keep it going during that time period is because I ended up selling my own condo and moving in with my parents to take care of my mom and dad. And the money that I received from the sale of the condo is what has helped me keep the doors open at the cinema. So when we reopened in October, November of 2022, after my mom passed away, you know, I think we were grieving for about 5 or 6 months. And then I said to my dad, we're running out of money. We really need to reopen and start generating some income. We reopened the theater in October, November of 2022 to Black Panther 2, which was a big movie at that time.
Show them who we are.
But it was kind of deflating for me because only 10 people showed up to the first show.
Here's something you need to know about what we're calling first-run movies. Those are new films. When movie theaters show first-run movies, they're under contract from the film's distributor to show those movies for a certain amount of time, and a certain cut of the theater's box office goes to the distributor. The shortest amount of time a cinema can show a first-run film is usually 2 or 3 weeks. They more often run 4 to 6, with possibilities to extend. The percentage a theater keeps from ticket sales varies from film to film, theater to theater, week to week. But first-run films are known as, quote, loss leaders. With distributors taking such high percentages, theaters will not make their money back on tickets. So if a big movie isn't getting folks in the door to buy concessions, that loss won't be recouped. And if you're contracted to lose money every day for weeks because folks aren't coming to the theater.
I felt like, why, you know, what am I doing wrong? And should I do something else?
After surviving so much, the future of the Gardena Cinema was once again unclear.
So 2023, I'm running out of money. I'm just like trying to figure out how to keep paying the bills. And my dad is also, now that he doesn't have a wife anymore and I'm basically his caretaker, he just wants to travel. You know, he wants to take road trips. And he has a senior citizen card for all the national parks, so he wants to use it. And he says, let's just sell the theater because I don't have any kids. My brother doesn't have any kids. Now that he knows he's not going to ever have grandkids, he's told me, he said, well, we might as well sell the theater and spend the money as fast as we can before we die because there's nobody to leave the theater to. If after I die, who's going to take care of the theater the way that we did? Nobody.
Judy put the theater on the market. But because of interest rates and the market in Los Angeles, no one was buying. In April of 2023, Judy came up with an alternative plan.
I'm going to set up a nonprofit organization. And then I'll have the nonprofit organization take over the theater.
And now Judy has a team of over 40 volunteers who help out as ushers, projectionists, concession workers, event planners, programmers. The community has rallied around her. And they're helping guide the cinema through its new phase, repertory screenings.
And so I started talking to some of my volunteers and asking them for their feedback. And they basically told me maybe you should stop showing first runs for now so that you have the flexibility to take care of your dad and, you know, close the theater on slow nights. And so I took their advice. I listened to my volunteers. I take their feedback very seriously. And I did what they told me to, which was, let's start booking some repertory titles, some revival stuff. So I did. I would book titles for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then I would just close Monday through Thursday.
Without the strict screening requirements of first-run movies, Judy has a lot more flexibility.
I feel like I've got a really good team of people now that I can trust. Like this past November, I took my dad to South Korea. He hadn't been there in probably 10 or 15 years. So that was really nice to be able to take him to South Korea and visit my brother because that's where he lives now. And so I left the theater with my volunteers and they did a fantastic job. It wasn't burned down.
As we've been talking, some volunteers have been trickling into the theater.
Hi, come on in, come on. Are they sitting in the auditorium?
Yes.
Let's meet the folks who came out in the middle of a Tuesday to talk with us. Here's Siphon, a local filmmaker who fell in love with the cinema when he was looking for a place to shoot.
I just kept coming and volunteering, coming to all the meetings, and it was like over time and time, and I was getting the feel of things. I'm like, okay. So and then I had this idea. where we do a singles night and then we do my film premiere. So it was like a 2-in-1 deal. So it was like, you know what? Hopefully you meet somebody and then you come out and watch my film the same night.
And Adela Tobón used to manage a single screen movie theater in NorCal. When she moved to LA, a friend told her to check out the Gardena Cinema.
And I met wonderful Judy, and I was shocked to find out that this was like 800 seats and like a single screen, and I just lost it. I'm like, this is exactly where I belong.
Connor Holt makes the hour-long trek out from East Hollywood to volunteer.
I used to work at Arclight Cinemas, and that has gone now. So you want to support places that are still around and are still trying to stay alive. And it's important to kind of, you know, even if it's a longer drive, even if it's out of your way, if you care about something, you gotta go the extra mile for it.
And Siphon says,
it's not just a movie theater. It's like, honestly, whenever I'm pissed or stressed out from my day, I'll just come over here and volunteer. Just hang out. Like a safe haven.
Bill DeFrance found the Gardena Cinema when he was taking the bus to film school. In 2022, after the parking lot drive-ins came to a close, he started volunteering with Judy.
So, like, I just took over, like, her dad's position full-time. I run the box office. I build the movies and the projector. I cut the trailers sometimes, too. And I'm also involved in programming a little bit. Wild at Heart was my pick, and it's actually my wife and I's favorite movie. So I programmed it for Valentine's Day so I could be at the theater and and on a date at the same time. So I was ripping tickets, then I went and met my wife in the theater. And then we got in and out afterwards. It's a perfect Valentine's Day.
I just want to say that I'm like tearing up because I think about all the people that have come from so far away, like Connor, and you know, there we have other volunteers that come from North Hollywood. And when we were doing our drive-in, I asked these two girls that were visiting where they came from, and they came from Bakersfield. And so when those things happen, I mean, those girls came when my mom was still alive, so my mom was just completely floored. And it's a really good memory to have because I remember my mom being so touched that somebody, you know, would come from so far away just to see our theater. Anyway, my mom, this theater reminds me of my mom so much because she loved this theater so much. And so for me, it's just very touching that, like, I get volunteers that come from so far away. I just can't believe it. And I'm so grateful. I'm so deeply grateful for everybody who's been so supportive of trying to keep my doors open. I feel like if I find a good group of people to sort of make sure that the place is still in good hands, then I can die peacefully. And for a long time, my dad was like, well, we don't need to leave a legacy. And that's why his first reaction to me last year was, let's just sell the place and spend the money as fast as we can before we die. But now I'm like, maybe we can do both. Maybe we can keep the theater and still spend the money before we die. So
we can be your grandchildren.
Right. Yes. You can all be my grandchildren.
Yes. This place needs to stay.
Yeah,
it needs to stay.
I'm now in my 50s. So it's only been like a little over a decade that I finally feel like I know who I am. I know what my purpose in life is.
Head over and check out the Gardena Cinema. There's a lot going on there. They're hosting a huge Oscars watch party during the awards this Sunday, and in April you'll be able to catch Dawn of the Dead in 3D. Keep an eye on their calendar for film festivals, local filmmaker events, and short film screenings.
Thanks to Judy Kim and the volunteers we heard from in this episode, Connor Holt, Adela Tobón, Siphon, and Bill DeFrance. How to LA will be back tomorrow with an episode featuring LA Try Guy, aka Alex Cottrell. Check that out tomorrow on our feed. Bye. This episode was produced by Victoria Alejandro. The rest of the How to LA team is Monica Bushman, Evan Jacoby, Megan Botel, and Erica Washington. Engineering support on this series is provided by Hasmik Pagosian. Our executive producer is Megan Larson, and I'm your host, Brian De Los Santos. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes LA a better place to live.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Hi, I'm Tracy Thomas, host of One for the Books, and we are back for another round.
This is clearly an NPR audience.
Yeah, I think they're so smart. What the hell?
My guests this time are actor Vella Lavelle and author Amanda Montell, whose new book, The Age of Magical Overthinking, is out now. Join us on May 15th at the Crawford Family Forum for book talk, trivia, and hot takes. Tickets can be found at laist.com/events.